teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it, no more handouts, cut them off.
They've been picking every pocket here from sea to shining sea. We must intervene to break this cycle of dependency. ADM and Cargill, General Motors, Ford and Boeing, ITT and Lockheed, and that welfare line keeps growing, growing, growing. Now Congress says we can't afford to subsidize the needy, but before we slash the safety net, let's tell the truly greedy. We're gonna end welfare as we know it, and get those greedy chiselers off the dole. We're gonna end welfare as we know it, teach them a little self-control. For far too long we've allowed these corporate hogs to belly up to the public trough. No more welfare as we know it, no more handouts, cut them off.
It's for their own good.
No more handouts, cut them off.
And we mean business.
No more handouts, cut them off.
And this means stadiums.
No more handouts.
That was the corporate welfare song by Ann Feeney, a prominent labor social justice singer. A corporate welfare song, no more welfare as we know it. Get those corporations off the dole. You say it'll never happen? We have to hope and work so that it will. Before that, we had Bob Dylan's Percy song, which I understand, thanks to brother Charlie Morgan, who informed me that's Bob Dylan's adaptation of an English song, an English folk song called The Rain and the Wind. Beautiful song, a simple tale of injustice, a simple tale of the powerless, being oppressed by the powerful. Can't really say much else. That was Bob Dylan. I want to talk a little bit about a story from The Nation. And it's about Emeryville, a city right across the bay from us, which just recently raised its minimum wage to $14.44. I'll read a couple of paragraphs, but if you want more information, go to thenation.com. Greetings from Emeryville, home of the country's highest minimum wage. On a crisp November morning in Oakland, 50 people dressed in red t-shirts burst into a McDonald's, bringing breakfast orders to a halt. From behind the counter, several cashiers gaped at the scene where an orderly line of customers had been replaced by a rowdy crew that bounced and shouted, calling for the restaurant to raise its wages to $15 an hour. A supervisor whipped out her cell phone and began filming. The chant directed at the workers grew louder. Come on out, we've got your back. After giving it some thought, three female employees walked past their supervisor, clocked out, and joined the protesters. The crowd erupted in cheers. That was a group of striking fast food workers in the East Bay. Emeryville is a wedge of city long overshadowed by its neighbors, Oakland and Berkeley. It once teemed with card rooms, speakeasies, and brothels, serving as a destination for folks who wanted to do the sorts of things that weren't allowed back home. Local District Attorney Earl Warren, who would later become Chief Justice of the U.S., famously declared Emeryville the rottenest city in the Pacific Coast. The city's current reputation, to the extent that it has one, is as the Mall of the East Bay, a mecca for shoppers. That mecca needs workers. Let's see what happened to one worker. Tyler Wright, a fast food worker at Pack and Save. The wage was raised from 9 to 14. This spring, news that Emeryville workers would be getting a raise spread quickly at Pack and Save. We were all very excited, Wright tells me, smiling widely. Though it was a warm afternoon in August, she was bundled up in a gray UC Berkeley hoodie to ward off the chill from the refrigerator aisles. It feels like we're actually making more money. Wright has already noticed a major, major change in her life. The obvious difference was financial. After taxes, her weekly checks now come to nearly $500. She can pay her bills, help her mom out, and still have what she calls some rollover money to put in the bank. This has lightened everyone's load. My mom is way more relaxed, she says, gesturing to Sonia, who smiles and nods. It's a longer story, and it does go into the fact that $15 per hour living in the San Francisco Bay Area still isn't a living wage. It's going to take more than that. This last year, 2015, we lost a great popular leader. I don't know how many people were aware of the death of Reyes López Tijerina, the leader of the Alianza de las Mercedes, the land grant organization in New Mexico. Just to be brief, a lot of native New Mexicans, when New Mexico was part of Spain and then part of Mexico, were granted land by the king or the Mexican government. And part of the infamous Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, where the U.S. basically ripped off a third of Mexico's territory, or a half, these land grants were, the United States agreed to respect these land grants. Well, of course they didn't. The United States ignored them, or they made them so difficult, made it so difficult to register these land grants that people couldn't do it. In the 60s, this man, Reyes López Tijerina, took up this issue. El Paso, Texas is the dateline, the location. Family members and activists gathered here for a three-day celebration of the great life and legacy of revolutionary freedom fighter Reyes López Tijerina. Those who call him El Tigre del Norte and all who spoke of him described him as a man of deep conviction. A self-taught man who used the Bible and this nation's original documents, treaties, and laws to obtain justice for his people. Born September 21st, 1926 in San Antonio, Tijerina inspired many during the turbulent 60s and continued delivering counsel and advice to members of the various activist groups such as the Brown Berets, until his last days. Tijerina was the most militant and influential advocate for Chicano rights. Chavez steadfastly promoted and engaged in nonviolent protests, while Tijerina actually led an armed raid on New Mexico's Tierra Amarilla County Courthouse in 1967. he saw his actions simply as conducting a citizen's arrest. They went to arrest a district attorney, I think, named David Sanchez, and showing at his people they had no longer to fear corrupt law enforcement officials. Tijerin also worked in the Poor People's Campaign, was an ally of Martin Luther King. Malcolm X declared him as a champion of his people. Reyes López Tijerin, a freedom fighter for the Chicano movement. And I'll see if I can find some audio so you can hear Tijerin talking. Okay, The Rebel Girl, song by Joe Hill, talking about the great Elizabeth Gurley Flynn. More about her in a minute. Here we go, The Rebel Girl.
I got no one. Never gonna hold the hand of another guy. 13-year-old Ahmed Mohammed left his high school in handcuffs after his English teacher mistook his homemade clock for a bomb. Yikes. But this isn't an isolated incident. Islamophobia happens all over the United States and around the world.
Why you shouldn't hate
Muslims. Ahmed's story is just another reminder of how difficult life is for Muslim Americans post 9/11. Pew reports show that 1 in 3 Muslim Americans are singled out for TSA screenings every year. And according to the ACLU, Muslim women in the U.S. are more likely to encounter discrimination if they wear a hijab. Would Ahmed's homemade clock been seen as a bomb if his name was Adam? Probably not. Across the country and around the world, too many people assume that Muslims are automatically worthy of suspicion or inherently dangerous. So let's go ahead and knock that stereotype flat on its face. Here are 4 reasons that you don't need to be afraid of Muslims. Islam is the world's second largest religion. In 2010, they made up 23% of the world's population. So if they were really all bomb-making terrorists, we'd be in big trouble. But they're not, which is why we're all fine. Islam is a peaceful religion. It's not full of terrorists like TV and movies will have you believe. The word Islam means surrender, and it's related to the Arabic word for peace. You've also probably heard jihad thrown around in the news, but it's 100% not about violence. It doesn't mean holy war, it actually means struggle, as in it can be a struggle to stay true to your religious beliefs and do the right thing. Jihad absolutely is not about going to war with other religions, and anyone who says otherwise is just wrong. Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS don't represent all Muslims. The same way the Westboro Baptist Church, who angrily pickets gay weddings and funerals, doesn't represent all Christians. There are extremists in every religion. You can't judge the whole group by the bad actions of a few. Since September 11th, more people have been killed in the U.S. by white supremacists, anti-government fanatics, and other non-Muslim groups compared to Muslim extremists. So this fear of Muslim terrorist threat here in the U.S. is kind of irrational. Ahmed's story is so upsetting because even a scrawny 14-year-old kid who loves science can't escape the stigma that comes along with his name and religion. There are almost 3 million American Muslims, each with their own stories and identities. They deserve to be seen as individuals instead of whatever stereotype you've seen on your TV screen. So what do you think it'll take to change the average American's perception of Muslim people? Tell us in the comments, and we will see you next week with another mini episode of Decoded.
Francesca Ramsey, an MTV personality with her show Decoded, Why You Shouldn't Hate Muslims. Islam, yes, Islam means surrender to the will of God, aka peace. The jihad is struggle, either personal struggle or struggle against those who are harming the community. This is Labor and Love, and one of the favorite tactics of the powers that be is to divide us. They would love to have us divided into Christian and Muslim, Jewish, all divided up and unable to work together. Well, we had my all-time favorite country group, the Dixie Chicks, with their song Traveling Soldier. And before that, we had Hazel Dickens singing about the Rebel Girl. The Rebel Girl being Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, an IWW organizer who, at the age of 17, was kicked out of high school for advocating socialism. She did things like chain herself to a telephone pole to delay her arrest in Seattle free speech movement. Flynn later in her life joined the Communist Party. All her life long as an IWW organizer, she worked tirelessly for the rights of working people. Elizabeth Gurley Flynn, the Rebel Girl. This is the B, aka Bill Morgan. I want to read a secret that a lot of people might not know of. The National Labor Relations Board, National Labor Act. Under Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, workers in most industries, whether they're union members or not, have the right to carry out concerted activities for the purpose of collective bargaining or other mutual aid or protection. Concerted activity usually means two or more employees acting together to try and improve pay and working conditions. But recent decisions have applied the definition even to one worker acting on behalf of a group. If workers face retaliation, the NLRB can order their employer to restore what was unlawfully taken away. We think the right to engage in protective concerted activity is one of the best kept secrets of the National Labor Relations Act, and more important than ever in these difficult economic times. That's a quote from NLRB Chairman Mark Gaston Pierce in 2012. It's a struggle, you know. It's going to be a struggle. Our nation is now officially an oligarchy. So that means all those rights that we thought we had under quote-unquote democracy, which a lot of people never really had, are gone. We're an oligarchy. The rich 1%, whatever you want to call them, the top 100 richest families, control over half the wealth, 40% of the wealth in the United States. And they buy and sell politicians who make our laws. However, we've got Linda Tilroy in the Cultural Heritage Choir telling us, don't you ever let nobody drag you down. Pardon me. We'll have Linda Tillery in a minute. This is the B, and I'm about getting ready to sign off. I want to thank my soulmate, Sylvia Ramirez, my daughter, Vita, back in town for a little while, and the family, Solina, Nepo, Vita, all you other guys out there. Let's see if we got Linda Tillery now. Don't you ever let nobody drag you down. There we go. Linda Tillery.
Each other, that's what love is for. Don't you let
nobody drag your spirit down.
Tie your spirit
let
down.
Let nobody drag your spirit down.
Walk on up to heaven. Don't let nobody tie
let
your spirit
nobody
down.
Drag your spirit down. Let
Okay, Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Orchestra. Don't let nobody drag your spirit down. This is the B. Signing off. Hang in there for Flat Black Plastic. Coming right up with Scott Walker. Excuse me. And remember about the comedy festival here at Mutiny Radio. Another cultural event from your friends at Mutiny Radio, 2781 21st Street in San Francisco's Mission District. Remember, if one person gets a dollar they didn't work for, another person worked for a dollar they didn't get. And if you don't have a seat at the negotiating table, you're probably on the menu. And never but never let anyone into your heart who is not a friend of labor. And when I say labor, I mean you. Remember to stand up. If you don't stand up, they'll count that you stood up for sitting down. This is Labor and Love. And this is the Internacional. Until next Saturday, y'all.
Insomnia, anxiety, stress, chronic brain, depression, nausea, and can induce euphoria and stimulate appetite.
I'm gonna guess waffles.
Yo, that is incorrect.
What?
Actually, Alex, the food I'm talking about are cannabis-based medicinal extracts.
Cannabis-based medicinal extracts? That sounds like you're smoking drugs, Ed.
No, baby! There are smokeless, safe, and less expensive alternatives to smoking.
But can I use it to sleep?
Yes, baby!
Good, because I'm so excited by this that I may never sleep again!
Then it sounds like you, Alex, may want to check out the number 4altacalifornia.com. That's 4altacalifornia.com for a non-addictive, pharmaceutical-free alternative to smoking medical marijuana. Check them out today at number 4altacalifornia.com.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You look like the kind of person who has a sense of humor.
Oh, is the radio talking to me?
No, I'm on an internet podcast.
I'm talking to an internet podcast?
Don't be silly. It's a one-way form of communication. But I don't want you to miss out on the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2016 from March 2nd through 6th. And you don't have to. You can buy tickets now on universe.com. With 24 national and international visiting comedians and 20 local hosts, you won't want to miss a thing.
What if I can't be at every show?
Don't worry. All shows will be available for free download at MutinyRadio.fm until the internet falls apart.
Oh, podcast God, I can't wait to listen to all these great comedy shows and everything else that's cool at MutinyRadio.fm before the internet falls apart.
You too won't want to miss a bit of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival from March 2nd through 6th, 2016. Buy tickets now.
Brought to you by Subliminal SF, PBR, The Eagle SF, Brainwash Cafe, Asiento, and the great people at Alta California Botanicals. Have you heard of Subliminal SF? Visual and auditory mind control. Graphic design, physical merchandise, live music promotions. Go! www.subliminalsf.com. For the most amazing t-shirts you've ever seen, graphic design for every need, and live music promotion at some of the best bars in San Francisco. That's Subliminal SF, visual and auditory mind control. Go to subliminalsf.com now.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny? Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dag nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499.
The dictionary definition of the adjective eclectic is selecting or choosing from various sources. When Bay Area musician J.D. Buell brings you Morning Train Wednesday 10 a.m. to noon on Mutiny Radio, that is exactly what he does. Select music from various sources to give you a unique listening experience. Rock, pop, jazz, bluegrass, gospel, funk, reggae, folk, blues, country and western, electronica, soul, disco, rhythm and blues, punk and post-punk come together with music from around the world with Buell's passionate and down-to-earth delivery. In an age of personal music delivery systems, J.D. Buell carries on the values of progressive FM radio when a listener could actually have a relationship with a programmer, someone who would create an eclectic musical environment wherein both listener and host find fulfillment. The Morning Train with J.D. Buell, Wednesday, 10 to...
Hey people, welcome to Flat Black Plastic on MutinyRadio.fm. This is for those of you who cannot live without your radio.
My radio, believe me, I like it loud. I'm the man with the box that can rock the crowd. Walking down the street to the hardcore beat while my JVC vibrates the
concrete. Scurvy shit-faced McRat.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shit-Faced McRat.
Do you need an awesome and underground space for an event? Look no further than MutinyRadio.fm.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Hassle Pride Show live from San Francisco. We have fabulous guests today. We have Salvador Evans Tofar, Cruzin DeLu, Majid Nelson, Poon Draker. Sitting right next to me, Shugana.
Miss Shugana,
welcome. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Tweeka?
Doing fabulous. Can't wait to get into what you all doing. But right now, we're going to lead into Tony Moran, the legendary producer DJ. This is one of his number one hits, recent number one hits featuring Jason Walker, entitled Say Yes. We're going to be talking to Tony in just a minute, but in the meantime, listen to this song. It's fabulous. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Yes, indeed. That's Say Yes featuring Jason Walker, the number one hit from Tony Moran. That's actually come in one of his six consecutive hits in a row that went to number one on Billboard Club. Tony, are you with us?
I am with you, Tweeka Turner. So happy to be back. I love talking with you.
Oh, my God. I'm not worthy. Welcome back to House of Pride Radio.
I now anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Drag Queen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me introduce you to my co-host today, Miss Shugana.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I love your music. Been dancing my titties off to it for, like, you know, 20 years, maybe 15.
Well, thank you. That is the greatest compliment.
Yes.
True.
When anyone says flaming titties on the dance floor to Tony Moran music, that it's you can't true. Get any better than that compliment.
Yeah, true.
Well, Tony, listen, why don't we just get right into it? You're six number ones in a row. What's going on? What do you think of that? Is that the first time that's happened to you in your career, or are we repeating it?
Everyday occurrence.
I'll try to keep it as short as possible, but what it is that, you know, I remix songs for so many people, and I've just been so blessed that I've had so many of them, like 70 something, not all in a row, but, you know, over the course of my career. And it only becomes that much more intimate when I feel like I'm so involved with the writing process, the producing of the artist. And so these six in a row are really about the fact that I was so intimately involved from the dawn of the project, and to see it reach its potential. You know, they're like all those songs and those artists, they're like my children. It means so much to me.
I totally get that. So on these projects, you're actually more involved creatively as a songwriter and producer and so forth?
Yeah, because, you know, being the artist featuring another artist, you know, grants you the license to make it, to participate as the artist on an equal level, except that I'm not really required to sing it, but everything that leads up to the point that performance is done, is all a collaboration. It is a group effort, you know, between me and the artist, and we just want to be able to get the best from each other in that collaboration. So to give you another example, is like, you know, so I just did a song with Deborah Cox, who you guys know I love and adore, and we have a great relationship. So I love working on songs with her, whether I write them from scratch or whether it's somebody else's track. And her latest single called Let the World Be Yours Tonight went number one on Billboard last week. And though I don't count that to be part of like my artist sequence of number ones, again, because like Deborah's my baby, like the song is my baby. And I just get so intimately involved in this stuff. And I think that what keeps me fresh is because I love the music. I love the artists. I love the songs. I love the people on the dance floor reacting. Or I love the audience letting me know that, you know, that sometimes I got to work to make it so that they will cause that effect to them on the dance floor by the time the song is released and available to the public.
Absolutely. Now, some of these hits and your discography are featured on a new release. Can you tell us about that? It's entitled Mood Swings. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, this doesn't get it. I don't get a chance to do this all the time where, you know, as an independent record label, I invest in myself in recording, producing, getting artists and also getting people to do the artwork and help me do a marketing plan. And so this album is just totally represents how I'm feeling, like not via one song, but through 28 various selections that go through the gambit of the spectrum of my feelings and of how I choose to express myself without fear. Because I want, you know, if you want to, you buy the whole album and you could still listen to me doing a ballad or an alternative rock song on top of me giving you 14 songs that are meant for my core, you know, soldiers and fans out there that have been so good to me.
Yes, well, we played in the beginning of House of Pride Radio, Say Yes, one of your number ones featuring Jason Walker. What was it like working with him? Was he an interesting artist?
Well, I'm drawn to him because, you know, he really just stands out on his own as far as what the kind of satisfaction that he brings to me as an artist, because he's a vocal talent. He is has an amazing level of soul within him, and he loves to be guided through that path. And as well, he's his own person. He's his own man. You know, like, you know, he is comfortable in his own skin, and you know, we both get nervous when we're working on something because we don't want to top what we did before, because the song before that I had with him was a song that I wrote with Chris Willis called "So Happy" for Jason, that did extremely well. And then I met Jason when, you know, he was like 20 years old, and I was doing a song for him with Junior Vasquez, and that song went number one. I just, you know, I have so much faith in him. And in the case of an artist like Jason Walker, I don't really feel like, you know, like time is against him. I think that he's going to develop into something that more and more people know, whether the association or the collaboration is with me or not, but that he really, you know, is going to have that moment where I'm so confident that people are going to enjoy him on such a greater level.
Speaking of collaborations, your recent collaboration with one of the founding Chic members, Niall Rogers, was super exciting for a lot of us because it's combining, you know, two world-renowned brands, yours and Chic's and theirs. And I just want to know, how did it all come to be that you guys decided to get together and turn out some hot music?
Well, you know, it's like, In this world of music and in this world of production and DJing and all that, you know, it's like really dance music, kind of like dance music specifically as a lifestyle. You know what I mean? It contains like a family, and it's like a beehive collection of people that have such great respect for each other's work, the devotion, the dedication that goes into it, with either great satisfaction or minimum satisfaction. It has so much heart that gets put into it. And I've been working with Nile Rodgers since I was like 25 years old. You know, I worked on Duran Duran, I worked on Madonna, I worked on all of these different songs that he was producing, and I was just an editor. So, you know, fast forward to 20 something years later, you know, I could gave him a call working with Kimberly Davis and said, "Hey man, it would just be great if we could just meet in the studio and see if we could like jam something out to just create that greater level of unity."